Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off.
In learning the difference between reacting and responding and where those two impulses belong, reacting belongs on stage because that's when you're not thinking, you're totally present, and you're reacting to the moment. Acting is reacting. So when I'm working, that's when I turn that switch on, open that door, and I can be, just be there. When I'm home, I gotta respond from choice, and the choice is to be a better person.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. You gotta love relationship advice delivered in a thick New York accent. Well, I've got Adam Ferrer on the show today, and we're healing your emotional triggers so you can have thriving interpersonal connections. Capiche? Adam and I talk meditation and breathwork for anxiety, the difference between responding and reacting to your partner, how to cultivate a felt sense of your emotions, and the difference between worry and responsibility. As a self-described codependent Catholic Italian, Adam is as real as it gets about getting vulnerable and doing self-work so you can experience better love, sex, and communication. We also help a caller in her 20s get more selfish in the bedroom because when it comes to sex, well, selfishness can be a real virtue. All right, intentions with Emily. For each episode, join me in setting an intention for the show. I do it. I encourage you to do the same. Like, what do you want to get out of this episode? My intention is to help you hear from other people who feel stuck in their sex life and relationships, to let you know you're not alone. And once you hear Adam's positive reframes around them, I think you're going to feel a lot better. You're probably going to laugh too, because let's be honest, it's Adam. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. My new article, Ask Emily, My Partner Watches Porn Too Enthusiastically, is up at sexwithemily.com. Also, check out my YouTube channel, social media, and TikTok. It's all Sex with Emily for more sex tips and advice. If you want to ask me questions, well, leave me your questions or message me at sexwithemily.com/askemily or call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX or 559-825-5739. Always include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. And totally cool to change your name to remain anonymous. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. Adam Ferrer is an actor, comedian, who Entertainment Weekly dubbed hilarious and co-hosted the critically acclaimed BBC sensation Top Gear US for 6 seasons. Find more Adam at adamferrer.com or on Instagram and Twitter at Adam Ferrer. Check out his podcast, The Adam Ferrer Podcast, 30 Minutes You Won't Get Back, and his comedy special on YouTube, It's Scary in Here. I love when Adam Ferrer is on the show. He's the host of The Adam Ferrer Podcast, 30 minutes you'll never get back. It feels like 5. That's how good he is, right?
Emily Morse, of course, is one of my favorite episodes, and I'm glad you had me back, sweetheart. Thank you.
Oh, I love it. I love being on yours. We did a podcast swap, you know, we did do that. Yep. But Adam, we're going to take a call. We can help out Brianna, 25, in California. Adam's in a successful marriage, and I've got some years here to help. What's going on, Brianna? How can we help you?
I am kind of in a predicament here. I recently broke up with my boyfriend, got back together with him the next day because I felt like it was the wrong decision. But the reason why I did in the first place was because I, as shallow as it sounds, and it makes me so sad, is that I'm just losing sexual like attraction to him. I feel like our chemistry in the bedroom is just off. I've tried telling him like, hey, I want you to be more confident and aggressive. And he's tried, and bless his heart, I love that about him, but it's just like, it's not happening. I know it sounds bad. I kind of have been messaging this guy, and like, I don't see that guy as like relationship material. I'm just getting that like sexual, like teasing, like satisfaction.
Yes.
And it makes me feel, and I love my boyfriend so much. And like, that's why it's kind of like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Like I decided to like stop doing that first of all, but like, I want to like work on that part of our relationship because literally like everything is perfect about this guy, except he's not like my typical full type. And right. The sex is just not
okay.
There.
I get it. Brianna, let me just tell you this. So you're 25 years old. You've been together 2 years, you said. And let me just tell you, this is what happens in a lot of relationships. Most relationships, by the time you get to 2 years, there won't be as much of that passion and that excitement and that chemistry you had at the beginning of the relationship. That's what happens. And So what I do is I help couples figure out, well, how do you talk about it? How do you communicate about sex? So the thing is, I bet he wants to be more, what did you say? More aggressive or more assertive. He doesn't know how. Like you guys are still, you know, you're 25 figuring it out. And so is there a way that you could, if you want it, and I know what you're saying too. I was you when I was 25 and I wish someone told me that this is what happens in relationships and you have to choose to work on it or not. You know, I think that it's always attractive when you're dating someone, like this would happen to me. I date someone for 2 years and this is common. And then you meet someone else and then they're really into you. And then they make you get that excitement, those butterflies, that newness that you did not feel early on. And you don't feel anymore with your boyfriend. So you think, well, it must be this guy. So I got to tell you, it's not probably about the other guy. So either you have two choices here. I would say you could go back to your boyfriend, which you did, and you could choose to say, you know what? I realize that we both could work on this together. I don't mean to tell you that you need to just start initiating or doing different things because you have to learn it together. And then you could say, let's figure out together what feels good to both of us. You go to my website. We have something called a yes, no, maybe list. You could download. It helps couples figure out what you're both into sexually. It helps that conversation. A lot of couples listen to my podcast. So I think that it's more about, and you're learning too. So the 20s are, you know, learning about yourself and your body. And so, you know, I know that he's great. I also,
he does like I want someone to like go down on me and like, you know, do some like, no finger action. He'll do the fingering, but like he won't go down on me. Like just like the biggest.
Well, that's a deal breaker.
And there's, Like, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And like, I even said, okay, like, because he's a germer. Like,
okay, you're
let's in the
lead.
Shower. Like,
I have a question. Do you go down on him? Do you give him blowjobs?
So I'm a giver and I have stopped giving him blowjobs and doing hand things. One, because he's never come. Like when I give him blowjobs and he says, because he gets too excited for that, he wants the vagina. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But like, that personally never happened to me. Like, you know, where guys never come when I'm giving him a blowjob, but like that, so that kind of was disappointment, but not only that, but he's very selfish in the bedroom too, where I'm like, okay, told him, I was like, hey, you're in the bedroom and I need you to like put me first. And he'll ask me like, what do you like? And I'm like, well, I just like you to be confident and just do whatever you want to do. Like throw me around, like, you know, be aggressive and like, whatever I don't like, I'll say no, but like, I just want you to just like dominate me basically. Right. And he's just not giving me anything to work with. So that's the frustrating thing. Cause it's sex. Like we can always work on that. But like, cause everything else is perfect. I'm like, I don't want to throw away this great relationship when it's just this one thing. You know,
well, it's a bigger thing. I mean, you're saying that I'm not going to get Adam's take on this too. Adam, I know he's, but you know, it's a lot of sex talk here. Adam.
Has it ever been good and deteriorated, or has it never been?
It's never really been good.
Oh, okay. Like, well, that's it.
That's the issue. You're not trying to fix something. You're trying to create something.
Yeah.
Right.
If it wasn't there in the beginning, you're not going to get it back. Like, because he probably doesn't know how maybe eventually he'll learn to be a great lover, but the fact that he has a germ thing and he won't go down on you, like maybe some guys don't like it because they might not know what they're doing and they feel inadequate but if he just won't do it, to me, that's just a no-go zone. And now you're not giving him blowjobs.
First of all, the thing that you said, Brianna, that you should be commended for is I was doing this and I stopped because. So you have a vagina and a conscience. Good girl. So... But what if you put yourself in the mindset and ask yourself the question, do I want to build this with him? And are you willing to do this with me? That's the question. If you rephrase the question, it's not like you got to get back to something that wasn't there. Do you want to go forward and make this better? Here's what I need. Here's a way we can do it. I'm open to any other way you might have. And then you work on it together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's right.
But, okay. But Dr. Adam. It's not a problem. It's something to be accomplished.
Yeah. Okay.
It's an effort. Yeah. That is such a great way to put it. You could say to him, yeah, let's do this together because you're both in it together. It's not up to you to figure it out and then see if he wants to work on it together, because they guarantee you both have a lot to learn together, but he has to be a willing participant. I don't know how you sound very evolved, even conscious, like Adam said, and a vagina. Does he have the emotional maturity? Does he want to work on it with you? But I think you'll know sooner than later if you word it like that. If he's like, I'm not interested, or we shouldn't have to work on it, you know, then you'll know.
Yeah.
See if he's down and you guys can figure it out.
And he's
together.
A guy. So the first thing you do is like, listen, I need to learn things about me. Will you help me? Because he doesn't want to know that he doesn't know.
Yes. Right. Well, because you don't know either. Let's be honest, Brianna, you probably are still discovering your body and what feels good to you at 25.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I mean, definitely there's like, that's why, like, I want to explore things. And like, you know, I think in the past couple years have started getting into lube and like doing different things and different positions and like even trying to masturbate on my own, because I'm like, oh, I'm just not into myself that way. There's no way I can get off. And to this day, that's still like a work in progress, but I feel like it's getting better because I have no other choice right now because I'm not getting any satisfaction right now. But
this is exactly it, Brianna. If you don't know it, it is about your journey too, figuring out what feels good to you and your body. And you're absolutely right, going on that journey. And I like what Adam said about, do you want to come with me and help me figure it out? I haven't had an orgasm in this way, or I'd like to figure. And then I think when you enroll the guy, you're like, look at this, let me show you what we could learn about my body, let's do this together, that maybe he'd be more down than saying like, you don't know this and you know, you need to ask for directions here. You know, I don't think that men like to be told that necessarily.
Now, I don't even want to ask directions driving. You think I'm going to ask directions for this at 25?
Exactly. Definitely.
So all right.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that helps. I hope this will.
I've got a lot of podcasts about this. A lot of couples listen to my podcast together and they get inspired, turn it off, go, what did you say Emily said here? Should we try to have the conversation this way or try this position? But I think this is a good first step. Try to have the conversation, see if he's down, and then call me back. Let me know.
Thank you so much.
Of course. You're welcome, Brianna. Thanks for calling.
Take care. Be happy.
So fun. Listen, this debuted number one on iTunes, his comedy album, It's Scary in Here. And it's really good. So I have to say, I'm sort of like, how do I not listen to, I don't know about comedy albums. I haven't listened to it in years. And I listened to it as like prep, and then I was totally into it and laughing, and it's like little small bites of Adam.
Thank you,
very articulate. You can get them for free on all the platforms.
That's
Spotify,
right. It's free and it's worth it. And a lot of it was about my anxiety and about the way I'm dealing with life. And
Well, that's the thing, is that it is about your anxiety. So I'm glad we're checking in now. How is the anxiety, Adam Farah?
Oh my God.
Because I can relate.
Okay. Thank God you're here helping people and people have this outlet. My issue is I beat myself up. I turn my frustration in on myself and you should do better. And there's that loop in my head. That's why, you know, meditation, I'm too wound up for meditation. I don't think your mantra should be, look what you did. Look what you did. Look what you did. So I'll tell you what.
Tell me everything.
One of the things that I found that really, really helped me was the phrase, worry is not responsibility. That got crossed up in my head because my dad was my hero. He was the one that took care of the family, and you wanted to emulate the man of the family. That's just the way I grew up. And my father was worried about feeding everybody, who left these goddamn lights on. I mean, it was the whole, it was like, you never let anyone outside this house know what we talk about in here. I'm like, Pop, the windows are open and you're screaming. They can hear you.
Right.
So it was always worrying about feeding everybody and taking care of everything and make sure everybody was protected. It was the projection of my parents' fears on their children was part of it. But the rest was just, you know, it can be a cruel world and you got to look out for yourself. So I got the message that worry was responsibility because I was emulating the behavior from my dad.
Right.
So when I learned worry's not responsibility, it freed up the fact that I don't have to be this anxious.
You don't have to worry.
I don't have to worry that much to be a good man of the house. You know, the man of the house has to be aggravated and worry and take care of him. No, he doesn't. That's just the wiring in my head. So that helped me a great deal. Worry is not responsibility.
Wow, what do you worry about? That's a really good one. Well,
yeah.
I have a different thing. So much like you, Adam, I have the negative self-talk as well. But it's like mine says, it's so funny you're saying this because I went through this morning. I'll take my therapy notes that are right in front of me because you're never done.
No.
It's about, I worry about everything. God, I worry that I'm not doing enough, that I'm not good enough, that I'm not enough. So the opposite of that is like, I am enough. That would be like the affirmation when you try to flip it. But I do this EMDR therapy about that. So it's like, I'm not doing enough. I'm not good enough. I won't be able to do this. And it's constant in my head that I am constantly, I fuck something up. A big one is I'm not going to follow through. And you know, here's something I can say to my whole team here, because this is a big thing about work. I worry that because I'm ADD like you are. And I have been challenged for a long time in getting stuff done and follow through in details. Like I love, like you said before, like I'm good at my job. I love helping people, but can I remember to put the keys back in the bowl? Do I have systems and organization? No. And then I feel I don't always follow through with things. And my team knows that. That's why I have an awesome team. But then I often feel like, oh, they just think I'm not doing enough. So then this is what I came up with today. Do you mind if I process my therapy with you, Adam?
Please do. Let it out, babe.
What I came up with was, that it's okay that just because these things happen to me that I'm, oh God, this is, I didn't mean to go here today, but I'm not a bad, like it doesn't make, it's not a bad thing. It's not like people know me, they expect me, I'm a good person, I have good intents, and they probably know, Emily, like that's why my assistant gets a copy of everything. I'm not going to see it or read it. And it doesn't mean I'm a bad person. Like I'm not a bad person because I have these skill set. ADD doesn't mean you're lazy or stupid or not successful or not all these things. That in fact, that's what makes me unique, perhaps.
Sure. Let me ask you this. When you get something done, do you feel better about yourself?
No. Okay. The other thing is, no, I don't opt for a moment. And then I think of what else, the 10 things I didn't do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So it's like a comic focusing on the one person not laughing.
That I do that too.
Yeah.
Thank God I can't see everyone's face on Zoom right now. Thank God that I can't see them. Because if they're not, right? I would be worried. So
they're plotting against us. You don't trust them.
They're going, what? But that's what I think about. But Adam, I love that you turn into humor and all the things that you do. And I know it's not easy being a comedian and artist, but I think you have a skill.
Here's the thing I just wanted to ask you, because I have
ask
the same thing about thinking there's salvation in achievement. Thinking about my identity lies externally from me. If I do that, then I'll be happy. If this happens, then this will be, you know? It's bullshit.
Right. Okay, so it is bullshit, that whole once I get the house, the wife, kids, the family, then I'll be happy. That is true. So we know that intellectually, and you're right. I have that same thing. And then so appreciating your successes and the small moments are what's important. So it's like the moment by moment, you have to just be like, it is enough. I am enough. It's okay right now. It's not about achievement. So does that mean that you've let go of achievement at all?
Oh, I can say this shit, but doing it fucking hurts. No, I know intellectually, I know my anxiety comes from future thought of something that hasn't occurred yet. And my regret comes from depression and things I should have done. There was a bit on the album called Anxiety and Depression, the polarity of that, where I'm running back and forth between those two energies. That's where that is. To be present in that is to not worry about the future or regret the past. I'm right here, right now. I'm here with Emily
and
boxes, and we're having a good time.
Exactly. Do you know this is why? Exactly. I've got my yoga pants on still. Listen, the thing is that when you are present, the stuff that you're worrying about in the future and the stuff in the past cannot exist in presence. So do you think that's why you like doing stand-up, right? And when you're probably feel great when you're doing a podcast.
That's the only time I am fully present and you're a vessel is when it's coming through you. When I'm a live audience, no net, I'm improvising and it's just coming through me. I'm not there. It's just whatever needs to come through me will come through me and you're a vessel to somebody else. And I have most comics can have that spidey sense where they can read a room. You know, you can feel an energy in the room. Like you get it when you're talking to a guest.
No.
You're like, this is going nowhere. You know, you can
see. Exactly. These are the best. Yeah, you got to go. Sorry, Adam. Thanks for being here.
No, but it's fuck this bastard. I'm dying out here.
After the break, more with Adam Ferreira. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
Okay, so it is true. So then the mic goes off and you're done with your show and then you're with your family or something happens. Yeah. And then you feel, how's it going at home?
Home is great because my wife understands. My wife is best move ever made in my world. In this entire world, is marrying this woman. I rang the bell. And anyone listening, you're going to Google her and you're going to think to yourself, this guy's batting over his head. You're absolutely right. So she understands me and she becomes the barometer of myself. I need to self-correct if she's not happy because I've done something. My job is to make her life better because I live better in service. For lack of a better word, in service of the queen. You know, you're like, okay, how do I make this life better? This is my job. So if I scream and yell, which is old behavior that she's not used to, I'm like, this no longer serves me. I got to fix this. I got to put that down. So that makes me happy knowing that making her happy makes me happy. And again, it's external fulfillment, but
right.
If but I'm going to go down, I'll go down with a sword in my hand fighting for the queen, you know, so that's fine.
Adam, that's good. So you feel like so when you go back into the screaming and yelling, like that stuff with therapy, you've kind of don't do that as much anymore?
Only I try not to. It's more coming from response because I grew up reacting. Italians are emotional people. And then they're loud, emotional people. And it's not really happy. Nobody lives at the end of the opera, Emily. You know, everyone's dying. So this is the culture we grew up in. So in learning the difference between reacting and responding and where those two impulses belong. Reacting belongs on stage because that's when you're not thinking, you're totally present and you're reacting to the moment. Acting is reacting. So when I'm working, that's when I turn that switch on, open that door and I can just be there. When I'm home, I got to respond from choice. And the choice is to be a better person in a relationship with somebody else, not just by myself. You know, it's not about me when I come home. It's about this family that I got to take care of. And I've taken on that energy as, you know, being the man of the house. And it's not to discount you ladies. You're perfectly capable of taking care of yourselves. I think you're underpaid. And I think any decisions regarding your body should be made by you. But let's be clear. This isn't about you right now. It's about me. So someone better help me right now.
Everything is touch and go. Tell me. What?
Control issues. I really got to address my control issues because there's no fucking control.
There is no control.
Yeah, right now you're just like, oh, okay, I guess this is going to happen whether I want it to or not. How am I going to deal with it? And let's deal with this right now. So what helped me was the blame. Look, I can blame myself for a lot of shit. I'm codependent and Catholic, so I'm double fucked. But there's no way I'm responsible for this. So I can let myself off the hook for this.
Yeah, you're right. You're so right. So you've been married for how long?
God, let me see. We lived together for so long. So I say we've been together since like 2006, maybe 2003.
Okay.
three, say around in there.
It's a long time.
Yeah, so we've been together long enough to know that we're the ones, whatever comes up, we're going to fight to get through it. So that's why I'm very lucky in that sense that that this is something not only I want to fight for, but I want to keep making better.
Well, Adam, did you guys ever go to therapy together? Or
we did once, and we all decided it's my fault.
So exactly.
Now, we did. Look, here's the thing that works for us, Emily, is I know her crazy. She knows my crazy a lot better, but I know her crazy, and I know the way we function as a unit. But like, I know if I got to go to the airport, I got to tell her it's a half hour before, and then I know she might make it on time, and if not, she's going to have to pee before we leave. So I'll be right there is at least 15 minutes. So you just got to learn how to communicate. I'll be right there. That's 15 minutes. Don't yell for another 15 minutes. Don't ask for another 15 minutes. And she's going to pee. That's the reason that there's a little settee right by the front door, because that's where I sit with the dog looking at her going, it's 15 minutes. Don't be impatient. So she's got to know that, you know? So I know that about her. And she knows that when I can only do one thing at a time because of my ADD. So I'm flying all over the place. So she knows if I'm on the phone talking to somebody, she can't ask me a question. She can't get my attention because I can't do it. Right. I'll fizzle out and I'll short circuit.
It's not easy. I mean, having a partner who supports you and got you like that.
Who just knows you're crazy. Just knows that she's going to need this. This will make her feel better. I know this will be there for her to get. She's got to get the engine running in the morning. So I get up in the morning. I come up first. I make the coffee. I give her about an hour. Then I go back upstairs. And now she's got her little Yeti travel mug she likes. So I put her coffee in the travel mug so it stays warm. I put it by the bed. And I go do what I got to do. So when she wakes up, she's got a cup of coffee. She'll come down and say good morning. She's already had a cup of coffee in her. And her day's better. So her day's better. My day's better.
That's great. So you just had those communication skills built in, but you had to learn. I just couples.
I had to learn all that shit.
You do have to learn it, even without therapy, but you guys were willing to work on it. I just feel like we hear so many, you know, couples calling who've been together 20 years and they still are having a lot of the same arguments they had early on. Well, you just don't learn how to resolve.
I had to ask myself the question. I'm like, I was in a couple of relationships before that were at the same point, you know, when I was younger, that didn't work out. But what really helped me with my wife was it was the difference between have to and want to, you know, it was like okay. All the other relationships I had before my wife was like, oh, I got to do this. I don't want to go and do this. This is like, no, I want to do this. I want to get rid of this because this is worth fighting for. This is what I want. I want to make this better. So when you're coming from want to, you got a lot more energy about you. And so when I realized it's not working, you know, my attitude isn't working.
Is there anything that keeps coming up again and again? You're like, oh, this fight, or now it just kind of doesn't have the same.
I have no patience. Emily, I go from zero to homicide in 3 seconds. I have no patience. When I say, can you do this? Is it done yet? That's the next sentence. And it's not, I have unrealistic expectations of how things are supposed to work. So, yeah. That's what I got. I have to learn patience. It's like I was on a car show for years. I like to drive fast and do stupid shit in cars. So
that's an ADD thing too.
Yeah. Anytime you put an input into the car, let's say you want to slide a corner, you're going to pull the e-brake. You're going to load up the suspension, which means you shift the weight of the car to one side of the car. You pull the emergency brake and then the back end comes out. But you have to allow the car time to respond to the input you put into it. It's a dance. You become one with the car. It's 2 tons. You're throwing 2 tons around. So, you know, that's a big car, you know, a big Cadillac. You're throwing 2 tons around. So that's part of the way I've learned to have realistic expectations of feedback. Because you have ADD like us. We want immediate. Oh, there it is. Oh, I got that hit. I got that hit of feedback right there. Now I can turn my attention to this way. If I don't get the feedback here, I'm turning my attention to get that feedback met. And that's part of ADD is you're looking for feedback.
You're looking for so you just got to ride it out is what we're saying.
Yeah, you're looking for the separation of the impulse and the feeling to your choice of acting on it is what I'm learning.
It's that moment, that sweet before you react. It's that moment in between that you have to. What's happening before? And how do you stop yourself from reacting and searching and going to the next thing?
Yeah.
So a lot of what we talk about in the show is how we handle our emotions. How do we learn to communicate with partners? And especially we're talking about, we both have ADD and I'm always suggesting people need therapy and meditation. Mm-hmm. But you're saying that you're in a good practice of meditation, not medication.
Well, that's where I started. I started with the medication. Yeah. ADD. And first of all, they give you speed. You know, right. It's, Yeah, it's salt-based amphetamine. And it's expensive. The Adderall, it was like $120 for a prescription. And I asked the doctor, I go, what is this? He goes, it's amphetamine. I go, I can go to Port Authority, get a bag of whites for $30.
So then you were taking, not as effective, but training our mind, which is where a lot of the destruction comes from, is the things we think. So you wake up and what kind of practice is it? You said you do.
So I got off the pills, right? So I got off the pill. I got off the antidepressants and everything because it wasn't working. I wasn't feeling right. It wasn't feeling well. It was too jangly. So I started a practice of just meditation to understand how to. Because I figured, I knew it was the mind because the thoughts just kept racing. So one book I read, it's a way of disciplining yourself not to react to the thoughts. You are not your thoughts. That's the first thing I had to learn. So then just as you separate and you get like a 30,000 foot view on your bullshit, you can sit in a place right now. I can sit in a place where I can recognize the impulse of the thought and the thought triggers the emotion or the feeling. And I can choose to act on it or not. So you're coming from a place from choice. I don't do it well all the time. I don't catch them all, but I'm more aware than I was before. So when you sit in a place where you could observe your thoughts, it puts you in a neutral setting. But you don't get there right away. Because the first time I was observing my thoughts was like this. I see you, you motherfucker. You're the one that's making me yell, scream and yell. But you identify with your thoughts means you act them out. You engage with them. If you can just see them and not judge them as I'm bad for having this feeling. I'm worthless because I haven't done this. Why am I? It's not right to feel that. It's all judgment. Yeah. Shit.
It's and all that judgment.
Yeah. All that judgment triggers a story. Look, pain in life is mandatory. The suffering is optional.
Exactly.
The suffering is the shit comes from the stories we tell ourselves because you don't get something done and you can't find your keys. Emily's bad. And now you're caught in that loop.
Exactly.
And then everyone. And then Colin's sitting there going, Ovi, pull her out of the hole. We got a show to do.
That's what they do. They call it the rabbit hole. My sister's like, don't go down that rabbit hole. Pick a happy rabbit hole.
Yeah. Oh my God. Amanda, Megan, go get her. We're all in the 30-second break. You know, so you still got a show to do.
I can't find my keys. But Adam, I want to get specific here. Your practice, is it just a breath meditation? Is it a word?
It started with right now. It's a breath meditation now because to eliminate the words, it started with a mantra. It started with this, but then just to eliminate the words and just to go into the space and to, the best way I can explain it, is to cultivate a felt sense. All right. So
tell
I can
more.
Feel cultivating a felt sense means it's your gut. It's your gut. When you feel, you know when something's right and when something's wrong. So if you cultivate that felt sense, that's a higher, it's pointing you to that kind of feedback with the world we live in rather than sight, sound, smell, all that other stuff. We think that those five senses are our identity and the thoughts that are connected to it are what we believe in. If you separate yourself from a belief system or any kind of system and just kind of sit and observe shit, then you can just be, you know, being comes from, there's no wanting, there's no fear and there's no fear and there's no desire. Fear and desire are the one that causes the stories in my head and makes you suffer. I have to get that. If I don't get that, I'm a piece of shit. How did I miss that? It's my fault, you know? And then if you look backwards, how could I let that happen? So you're never really present. You're never really being. So I started with a breath meditation. I started with a mantra. And now I'm at a point where I still use the breath to just to start the machine and just to sit there. And the best thing that I ever found for 20 minutes is a great book called Natural Meditation by Dean Slider. That's the book that really clarified everything.
Okay.
I had my podcast as well. But if you're going to start it, all you got to do is say, I'm going to sit in this chair. All I'm responsible for is to put my ass on this seat for 5 minutes, 3 minutes. That's it. That's all you're responsible
for. You start with that. Even if you do it for a minute. Yeah, no, it's true. And I've been meditating. It's funny. It's like working out. But you know, when you're in a roll with it, you're great. And I've been probably first meditated 25 years ago. And then I go in and out. But mostly I do it every morning. But when I don't do it, I notice that it's, you know, I'm off. But I think you're so right what you're saying about your gut. Trusting our gut, we have all the answers. So by meditating, you're just more aware. You don't have the same reaction. So it helps your anxiety though too, you're saying?
It helps my anxiety because I'm less anxious because I don't feel like I need to control the outcome of the future. And if something happens, it wasn't my fault. And if something happens, I'm cultivating my trust in my ability to overcome. So I'm moving myself out of a fear-based identity and reality. Like, oh my God, what if? Fuck what if? You know, what if? What if my aunt had balls? She'd be my uncle. It doesn't matter. You know, you're putting yourself in a position where you're going to just drive yourself crazy. You know, so it's having, my wife says I'm cultivating trust, and Italians don't really trust too well. You know, we're born going, yeah, I'm not. It's like the DNA thing. She wanted me to do a 23andMe. I said, I'm not giving up evidence without a court order. I don't trust anybody.
Yeah,
so that's what it is. It's coming up with that felt sense that, okay, this isn't my fault and I'll be able to overcome what's thrown my way.
God, that is it. That is it. It is really the best tool, especially right now when a lot of us are feeling even more anxious. Some people, Adam, believe it or not, are having anxiety for the first time.
Oh, welcome.
That's what I feel like. I'm like, welcome to the party. How's that going for you?
Yeah.
And it's like someone who's been, you know, had it my entire life, which they never used to call it anxiety. What did they call it? Or ADD.
Call it calm the fuck down. I remember I was talking to my shrink. It happened to me in the fifth grade. And I remember that summer when anxiety, I didn't know what it was, but I knew I didn't feel right. I was in the fifth fucking grade, Emily, and it hasn't gone away.
Exactly. Yeah. What did you feel in the fifth grade that made you anxious?
Fifth grade, I did something. I got into a fight on the school bus on the fifth grade, like one of the last days of school. And this guy wasn't much of a fight, but I did the best I could. You know, this kid just kicked my ass, and everyone was laughing at me, and I was humiliated. So, and it was one of the last days of school where I felt, you know, humiliated. And that humiliated feeling sat with me that whole summer. And I had anxiety about the first day of school because I'm like, I'm going to go right back on that bus and have to go back into that fight again. And everyone's going to humiliate me. Everyone's going to point and everyone's going to laugh. And that's when I realized, why is this happening to me? So even at that moment, I realized that I could observe that thought because it was aberrant. It was alien to me. I never felt it before, even though I was a kid. But I had a kid's mind where I'm like, this isn't right. This isn't. So I had that separation ability that I didn't know I had. And meditation and therapy helped me cultivate.
Wow.
I'm still a fucking mess, but at least I know why.
Well, that's the thing. At least you understand it. That's what it does, you guys. And everyone just thinks that therapy isn't worth it. You don't need therapy. I'm always pushing it here. I'm always trying to explain to people that it's, I don't know, maybe people still think, well, it means that I'm crazy or they're going to send me away. Yeah, there's a stigma. Or we think you're insane. It just gives you life tools.
Yeah, they're not going to send you away. You're not crazy. Everyone's fucked up. You just don't know it.
We are all fucked up. People who think they're not fucked up are the most fucked up.
Those are the people that pick up an axe and wipe out the whole family one day. Stay away from them.
It's so true. And it helps your work. It helps your comedy. Do you feel like, how do you feel, Adam, your comedy's been during? Like, are you flourishing? Or are you feeling like, ugh?
I'm doing more. And I'm trying to do more out of wanting to produce rather than, holy shit, I'm scared and I got to do something. So I'm trying to come from a place of, I have this opportunity as an opportunity to create. I've never been more fucking busy in my life. You know, I'm really busy doing shit, but I'm not going out on the road. I'm not leaving the house. So the feeling I have to remind myself is you are working, you are producing, you are productive. But you're not, I'm used to getting on a plane every Thursday, flying in to do radio Friday morning and do the morning news on Friday, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, get on a plane and fly home. That's my work schedule. So that's how I know I'm doing something. I'm actively moving. I had to remind myself that even though I'm not leaving the house, I am working. I am producing. I am. And again, I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing. That's your self-worth. That's your value.
Adam, this is good. I feel like I'm getting a second therapy. See, we all need it, right? Even though I go this morning. Adam, this is great. I got to ask you, Adam Ferreira, the five questions we ask all of our guests.
Yes.
It's our five quickie questions.
Go ahead.
Biggest turn on.
The way my wife's hair smells.
The biggest turn off.
The way my feet smell.
What makes good sex?
Communication. I like it when there's a lot going on.
Something you tell your younger self about sex and relationships.
Don't be a dick. There's two people in this relationship. It ain't just you.
What's the number one thing you wish everyone knew about sex?
It ain't dirty. It's only dirty if it's done correctly.
I love it, Adam. That's it for today's episode. See you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX.
That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.